This is a story about a very nondescript piece of plastic. So nondescript, we didn't even realize we were looking at it when we first saw it.
There's a couple of them.
Oh, yeah, right. There's one on the table.
Yeah,
oh.
And so it's just like a... That's just like a prototype idea, and then I think they would make it like a more durable option.
So is that the main part of... Like, that's what's novel about this, or is it also the computer part?
Oh, yeah, it's just a little IV splitter.
Okay.
Yep.
When we saw it, we were like, but once we learned what this little piece of plastic does, we were like, oh, okay. It might not be glamorous, but it could mean the difference between accidentally putting medicine in the wrong limb.
You can lose part of your arm from it.
And saving someone's life.
If you're in an airplane, the pilot's giving 100% of his or her attention to that. And in the ICU, the nurse is being bombarded from every which direction. So this very important activity that could be life-saving is competing with a whole lot of other stuff.
All this boils down to a question of ergonomics, designing things to make them work for the people who use them. So what makes good design? We're here to tell you that actually it's not what, it's who. After all, wouldn't nurses know best what nurses need? You're listening to Litmus, a conversation with groundbreaking researchers from Northeastern University. We connect what's going on in their labs to what's going on in your life. I'm Emily Arnson.
And I'm Aria Bracci.
Today we're talking to Northeastern nursing professor Karen Giuliano and News at Northeastern science writer Laura Castagnon.
IV infusion through an... All right, sorry to get...
No, and me both. Don't worry about it.
IV medication administration.
Karen is creating a device that keeps IV tubes from getting tangled so that nurses don't accidentally put the wrong tube in the wrong body part. We met her in the lab where she's testing out her new design. But before we get into the design, let me just say that we didn't even know this was a problem. So Karen walked us through the whole process of setting up an IV.
And so what you do is we have to hang the bag, put it through the channel of the IV pump, program the channel to deliver the appropriate medication, and then make sure it's connected properly to the right port to the patient. So all of that is completely manual and therefore prone to human error.
Like putting the IV in the wrong body part. Like an arm, which is a peripheral part of the body, instead of the chest, which is central.
Some medications, if you give them peripherally, can be very dangerous, especially if the IV slips out.
Okay. Can I ask you a follow-up question?
Oh, sure.
So I don't really understand. So if you put the medicine in one of the periphery limbs, as opposed to medicine that is supposed to go into the central limb, like is that dangerous because it takes too long to get to your core?
No. It's mostly dangerous because certain medications are really caustic or irritating to the vein. And number two, if it's a medication that you really need to act as soon as possible, if it's life-threatening, then it's obviously faster if you put it central.
So
but it's primarily the irritation factor.
Oh, okay. So what does that irritation look like? Is that...
Well, for example, very common medications are dopamine and epinephrine, and they squish down the vessels. But if they do that to the vessel, they also do that to the skin. So if it inadvertently dislodges, it'll actually cause a big ischemic, and you can lose part of your arm from it because it cuts the circulation off locally.
So if you put a really common blood pressure medication into your arm instead of into your chest, for example, it's much more likely for it to accidentally shift, and that can kill the tissue in your arm. She compares this to a problem with some epinephrine pens.
Have you guys ever, know anyone with food allergies, EpiPens?
Mm-hmm.
Or hear of EpiPens?
Yeah.
And so one of the problems with the EpiPen ergonomic design is EpiPen, the way it's designed, is terrible. So you can inject it into your thumb, and people have had problems with ischemic thumbs because EpiPen is a vasoconstrictor. It's the same medication we use.
So are you supposed to put it in another part of your body?
No, you're supposed to inject it into your leg.
Oh, is it what if somebody like did it the wrong direction, essentially, in that leg?
Yeah. Oh, that's... Oh, my God. Oh, so they put the pen the wrong way.
Yeah, and it's because it's not designed for human factors, unlike...
So the same way that an IV full of epinephrine that's supposed to go into your neck can accidentally go into your arm... Sometimes people hold an epinephrine pen upside down, so instead of injecting the medicine into their leg, they inject it into their thumb, all because of really bad design. How often does that happen?
Well, it doesn't happen often, but it shouldn't happen at all.
Yeah.
It's just like they don't pokey-oke the system, which is, you know how if you go to a gas station, you can't possibly put diesel fuel in your non-diesel engine because it doesn't fit. So they should be stuff that just can't happen because it doesn't fit.
Newer designs of epinephrine pens make this kind of thing impossible. But with IV tubes, there's still a huge potential for mistakes. So to make putting the wrong tube in the wrong body part as impossible as putting diesel fuel in a non-diesel engine, Karen is creating a plastic splitter. It's like one of those foam things people get jammed in between their toes when they get a pedicure. Karen's splitter has four little slits in it to separate four different tubes, so there's a much smaller chance that nurses will mix them up.
I guess four doesn't seem like that many to have to trace, but is it just the pace?
It's the pace, yeah. Yeah, it's the pace. It's the 50 other things that the nurse is supposed to be doing at the exact same moment. So this very important activity that could be life-saving is competing with a whole lot of other stuff. So that's not going to change anytime soon. But what can change is some of the safety features on the pump so that it makes it harder to make an error, mm-hmm. or it makes it easier to do the right thing.
Yeah, so this can basically make it safer and faster.
Yes, exactly. Because speed is always of the essence. And
it just seems like such an easy fix. Like, how is this still a problem?
It's so easy to make something impossible. Like, how come this wasn't made impossible? You're putting
Oh, I see what you're saying. Why couldn't they have just adopted the Mac?
You're putting food into your blood. Yeah. Like, that's not okay.
Right.
And then the other way around, like putting medicine into your stomach that's supposed to go into your veins.
It's actually giving me chills. I have goosebumps. I can't believe that.
This is why we need ergonomics.
Yeah. And why we need people like Karen and Jack Dennerlein, who's the director of Northeastern's Occupational Biomechanics Ergonomics Lab. Karen's working in his lab while he's on sabbatical. So we called him to talk about what makes good design in the healthcare field.
Wait, even that. See, that was unclear to me. I didn't know that this was clickable. That design. I thought, are we not already in it? Why do we have to join again? Hello.
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 It seemed appropriate that the design of the app we were using to call him was confusing.
So when you think about, you know, a machine like Karen's that she's working on, that it has just something really simple to make it easier for someone to use. And why didn't someone implement that? Well, it becomes intuitive.
The reason bad design doesn't always change is because people just get used to it. One really common bad design we've all just gotten used to is the keyboard. And it's something Jack thinks about a lot.
So my PhD thesis was looking at people typing on keyboards.
Actually, it's something we all spend a lot of time looking at. All right, so I don't know if you've ever looked at a keyboard.
Never.
Have you ever used a computer, Aria?
Nope.
Okay, well, it is not alphabetical. Might be the first thing that you've noticed. I don't know. I had a huge problem with that when I was younger. I was like, why? Why is it not alphabetical or something better than this? Turns out there's actually a reason that it's so bad in terms of the design. Like the letters that you need most are in such different places for a reason.
I was going to ask if the letters that were in the middle were the ones that we use the most, but now that I'm looking at it, I don't think so.
No, and there's a very specific reason. So this keyboard design, it's called QWERTY.
Yes.
Because it's Q-W-E-R-T-Y.
Yes, I do know that.
Oh, okay, cool. I didn't know that. But it was designed with typewriters in mind. Because of the nature of a typewriter, when you would push down on the buttons, if you pushed down on two buttons that were close to each other, the typewriter would get stuck just because of the mechanics of the machine. So all of the frequently used letters had to be spaced out across the board so that the keys wouldn't get stuck together. For whatever reason, that didn't get amended when we created keyboards like we have today that don't have that problem. We just were like, yeah, we'll just keep it the same. So we had to ask, why did we keep it the same?
There is reason for it, and it's called congruency. Congruency is knowing how things, when you show up somewhere, you know what to expect. So typewriters were developed, and we expect keyboards to look like that. So while it was developed a long time ago, the energy to actually change it will be quite large and difficult to do.
In some cases, people feel like it's actually more efficient to use a bad design they're familiar with than it is to introduce a whole new design, even if it's way more intuitive. Some things just become second nature.
Yeah, it's almost astonishing at times that this hasn't been done yet, but you know, we get to a point where we think this is good enough.
Yeah.
And so maybe we don't need to improve from here.
And it's also, you just get used to it. If you don't ask the question, you just do it. And nurses are doers. Nurses just get stuff done. And nurses always have at the forefront, you know, trying to do the best for their patient. And they're not necessarily thinking what manufacturers' responsibilities are to help in that process.
And sometimes the people who are most familiar with a product are actually the most equipped to make that product better. designers and engineers can't always guess what nurses need.
The reality is that a lot of people are working sort of in silos when they're designing.
That's why user-generated design is really important.
Do you find that like a lot of people who end up making the best design are the users, like the people who are most familiar with the products?
Yes. Ergonomics is a transdisciplinary field. I think the unique thing that Karen brings to this is that she comes together as a nurse and as a user. You know, she's been out in the field. She sees these issues, and so she sees the harm they create. So she's been documenting that harm and now is looking at trying to fix it.
And it doesn't need to be anything fancy.
Yeah, I love the simplicity of it. Just a small change.
It is simple. You know, innovation doesn't always have to be 10 years and, you know, multiple multi-million dollar grants.
Karen used to be a nurse. She's a doer. Her product isn't going to take 10 years, and it certainly won't cost millions of dollars.
I borrowed the pumps from a company, so those aren't mine. Those are going back. I bought the IV poles on Amazon and the mannequins on Amazon with my startup funds.
That's why the mannequins have the makeup on them.
Yeah, because they're the cheapest things I can find to do the job. They're not ideal, but they're good enough.
They're wonderful. I love them.
But like I said, there's no ICU patient that ever looks like that mannequin.
Karen knows how hectic things get in the ICU, which means she also knows which systems work and which systems don't. To fix a bad design, you have to spot it first. And Karen is doing both. Special thanks to Northeastern University's Karen Giuliano, Associate Professor of Nursing and Executive Director of the Bouvet College of Health Sciences Healthcare Innovation Program, and Jack Dennerlin, a professor in the Department of Physical Therapy, Movement, and Rehabilitation Sciences. Thanks also to Laura Castagnon for helping report this story. Anthony Polito is our sound engineer. David Filipov is our editor. From Northeastern University, I'm Emily Arnson.
And I'm Maria Bracci.
That's all from us. Talk next time.